Chapter 61. It began on the floor of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. For some months, nearly all the activity had been in the industrial counters, centering about the Alex Segov group of companies and their merger negotiations. The only spark of life in the mining and mining financials had been Anglo-American Corporation and De Beers deferred rights issues. But this was now old news, and the prices had settled at their new levels. So it was that nobody was expecting fireworks when the call over of the gold mining counters began. The broker's clerks, crowding the floor, were quietly spoken and behaved when the first squib popped. "Buy Sonderditch," from one end of the hall. "Buy Sonderditch," a voice raised. "Buy." The throng stirred, heads turned. "Buy." The brokers, suddenly agitated, swirled in little knots, broke and reformed as transactions were completed. The price jumped 50 cents, and a broker ran from the floor to confer with his principal. Here, a broker thumped another on the back to gain his attention, and his urgency was infectious. "Buy! Buy!" "What the hell's happening? Where is the buying coming from?" "It's local." The price hit 10 rand a share, and then the panic began in earnest. "It's overseas buying." "11 rand. Brokers rushed to telephone warnings to favoured clients that a bull run was developing. "12.50, it's only local buying. Buy at best, buy 5,000. Clerks raced back onto the floor, carrying the hastily telephoned instructions, and plunged into the hysterical trading. "Jesus Christ, 13 rand! Sell now, take your profit! It can't go much higher. 13.75, it's overseas buying, buy at best." In 50 brokers' offices around the country, the professionals who spent their lives hovering over the tickers regained their balance and, cursing themselves for having been taken unawares, they scrambled onto the bull wagon. Others, the more canny ones, recognizing the makings of a sick run, and offloaded their holdings, selling industrial shares as well as mining shares. Prices ran amok. At 10.15, there was a priority call from the offices of the Minister of Finance in Pretoria to the office of the President of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. "What are you going to do?" "We haven't decided. We won't close the floor if we can possibly help it." "Well, don't let it go too far. Keep me informed." 16 rand and still spiralling, when at 11 o'clock South African time, the London Stock Exchange came in. For the first 15 wild minutes, the price of Sonderditch gold mining rocketed in sympathy with the Johannesburg market. Then, suddenly and unexpectedly, the Sonderditch shares ran head-on into massive selling pressure. Not only the Sonderditch, but all the Kitchenerville gold mining companies staggered as the pressure increased. The prices wavered, rallied a few shillings, and then fell back, wavered again, and then crashed downwards, plummeting far below their opening prices. "Sell," was the cry, "sell at best." Within minutes, freshly made paper fortunes were wiped away. When the price of the Sonderditch gold mining shares fell to 5 rand 75 cents, the committee of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange closed the floor in the interests of the national welfare, preventing further trading. But in New York, Paris and London, the investing public continued to beat South African gold mining shares to death. In the air-conditioned office of a skyscraper building, the little bald-headed Manning was smashing his bald fist onto the desktop of his superior officer. "I told you not to trust him!" He was almost sobbing with anger. the fat, greedy slug. $1 million wasn't enough for him. Now he has to blow the whole deal. Please, Colonel, his chief intervened, control yourself. Let us make a fair and objective appraisal of this financial activity. The bald-headed man sank back into his chair and tried to light a cigarette with hands that trembled so violently as to extinguish the flame of his lighter. It sticks out a mile! He flicked the lighter again and puffed quickly. The first activity on the Johannesburg Exchange was Dr. Steiner being clever, buying up shares on the strength of our dummy report. That was quite natural, and we expected it. In fact, we wanted that to happen. It took suspicion away from us. His cigarette had gone out. The tip was wet with spit. He threw it away and lit another. Fine! Everything was fine up to then. Dr. Steiner had committed financial suicide, and we were on the pig's back. He sucked at his new cigarette. Then our fat friend pulls the big double cross and starts selling the Kitchenerville shares short. He must have gone into the market for millions. Can we abort the operation at this late date? His chief asked. Not a chance. The bald head shook vigorously. I have sent a cable to our fat friend, ordering him to freeze the work on the tunnel, but can you imagine him obeying that order? He is financially committed for millions of dollars, and he will protect that investment with every means at his disposal. Could we not warn the management of the Sonderditch Company? Well, that would put the finger squarely on us, would it not? The chief nodded. Well, we could send them an anonymous warning. Well, who would put any credence on that? You're right, the chief sighed. We will just have to batten down our hatches and ride out the storm. Sit tight and deny everything. That is all we can do. The cigarette had gone out again, and there were bits of wet tobacco in his moustache. The little man flicked his lighter. The bastard! The fat, greedy bastard, he muttered.